evening out here on the East Coast of the United States of America. And it's it just makes perfect sense that we're out here, because today we're talking about the most Eastern division we can find, the NFC. Least East. Sometimes that slips out a little bit. But, you know, they've kind of earned the reputation as of late. But maybe this is their year, right? This is the one.
Says every Cowboys fan.
Oh, God. Well, we got lucky and we found some amazing guests for this episode. And we're also lucky because one of them's not a Cowboys fan, so we don't have to sit here and listen to someone tell us that they're going to go 15-2 or something this year.
Right.
You know, thank God we avoided that conflict. But you have tuned into the one and the only award-winning podcast on and off the field with Durf and Dylan, episode 41 of season 4. Total episode 161 of these bitches, man. Got to mark this one explicit now, but man, 161, my God, that's a lot. Yeah, we're on the All Sports All Plays Network, as you can see if you are watching the live show right now on social media, the ASAP Network and the PartyCast Network, where the party never ends. That one's not on our screen because I am too lazy to edit it, and I don't feel like doing it. If you want to help the show at all, you can floss. You know, it's just really important that you do that, obviously. Recommended by 10 out of 10 podcasters everywhere. Follow, like, observe, subscribe, and share anything on off if you're related. Durf, can you teach them how to floss properly?
All right. Well, first, you want to follow on TikTok, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch?
Did we say TikTok yet?
TikTok? I'm off today.
TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram? I think that's all of them, right?
I think it's all of them. I can't keep track anymore. All by searching at OOTF Podcast. Then you can like by hitting that thumbs up, leaving a heart reaction, or just telling us how you like the show by leaving a review on any of our pages or on Apple Podcasts. You can observe by watching us live every week at this time, from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays. Actually, scratch that. On Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can subscribe by clicking the subscribe buttons on Twitch and YouTube, making sure to ring the bell so you get notified when we go live. And last but not least, you can share by letting your friends and family know about us by sharing up the stream or any post that you like.
Whew. You did great.
That was a rough one. I have not been that bad in a while, and it's just one of those days.
Don't let anyone tell you that you did not do great. Where's the volume button on this? Where is the volume on Facebook? Facebook, what are we doing? I'm trying to pull up our live stream, and I can't find the volume button anywhere, so we're just going to close that one. All right, good job, Facebook. Obviously, that's the worst one of all of them. Of course, it would be Facebook. That doesn't have a volume button when you're listening to a live stream. Good job. Oh, God. Stupid boomer platform. Sorry, that was offensive. Sorry to my the boomer listeners and followers, but Facebook sucks. What's up, Freddy? How you doing, sir? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you know, I don't know what Freddie's team is. I was going to say he was a Cowboys fan, but that could be wrong. I don't want to assume anything. I could be wrong. But we have so much to get to this episode. So much. And first and foremost, we have to let everybody know that Durf is a golfer, friend. This guy's a golfer. What did you just shoot the other day? Yeah, on this weekend, or what day you went?
When I played yesterday.
Yeah,
in the blistering heat.
It was hot yesterday. Yeah, damn.
It was hot yesterday. I played 9 holes and shot 54.
Now let's travel backwards though. Like, okay, let's say, when did we start golfing? 2, 3, 4 years ago, you started really golfing with
two years ago.
2 years ago, what would you normally shoot on 9 holes 2 years ago?
2 years ago, I was aiming for 70, 72.
and you shot a 54.
Mm-hmm. On my second time playing this course.
Can we all just give him a round of applause, please? Just kind of like, you know, good job. Hell of a job. Thanks. I mean, 54 is what I shoot these days.
Everything was working except for the putter.
Now, you know, putting's stupid. We don't, you know, whoever invented golf, I want, you know, good job. Thank you. Thank you for inventing golf. But you put the putter away. Like, we didn't need to do that. Like, you should have just been like, good job. You got it on the platform. And now we're good. Just leave. Go to the next one. Like, you did a good job. Like, this putting thing is just, you messed that part up. No one needed that.
Right.
Terrible job. All right. So with that out of the way, it is time to get started. And we need to talk about the NFC East. Week 3 of our division breakdowns. And this is actually our first NFC division. We've done the AFC West and the AFC North.
That is true.
This was all just randomized. We had no idea. I just spun a wheel. So this week we're doing the NFC East. For those who don't know, this division has the Pittsburgh Maulers. Oh, no, wait. That's no. Well, these teams are about as good as the Pittsburgh Maulers. The Philadelphia Eagles, the Washington Commanders, the Dallas Cowboys, and New York Giants. The New York football
Giants. You can't forget that.
As soon as I said Giants, I forgot something important there. That's my fault. That's on me, folks. That's on me. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, we have to go to the city of brotherly love because we have a special guest with us. We are welcoming Mike Fuji of Broad Street South Podcast. Welcome to the show.
What it's up, fellas? What's going on? Training camp just about a month and 3 days away. Let's get this party rocking. Let's dive right into this NFC East. I mean the East. Who's going to be the beast? How are you? How you doing tonight, everybody? Everybody, we're fired up here in Philly. Just waiting for training camp. Guys, how are you? Every day is just one day closer. The Eagles training camp, the NFL kicking off. How you doing?
I mean, you know, I was doing better, or I was doing worse before. Now I'm doing better. I'm pumped now. I'm an Eagles fan now. You just converted me.
So right this second. Yeah. I converted you like Jesus putting hands on your head. Nah, all jokes aside, my man. Max, I appreciate you guys having me on. Actually, I got my show on at 8 o'clock if you want to check me out tonight. Me and Angel Martinez, my co-host.
I will, once we're done here, you send me a link on Facebook, and I'll be sure to get that link out to everybody else, too.
Absolutely.
We'll work towards that. Yeah.
Let's dive right into this division.
Oh, my God. We dive in head first right into
Cannonball. We're
the
going to
Philadelphia Eagles. Oh my God!
We're taking the water right out of the pool, my man. That's
the
how
biggest.
That's
slap.
The dive. That's how deep we're going. We're going way down, right to the abyss of the NFCs.
Well, no, we'll talk about the Commanders next if you want to talk about the abyss. But
well, hey, you know what? I mean, you got Chase Young coming back. I mean, shame, you know, he got hurt last year. I mean, that can't take nothing away from that defense of Washington. Ron Rivera, I mean, you know, they won the division 2 years ago. They, you know, just, I don't know what happened. They, a guy that we're familiar with, Carson Wentz, you know, that went 13-2, got the Eagles, you know, right there winning the NFC East. Nick Foles taking us to the Super Bowl 5 years ago, so. You know, I think, you know, Carson Wentz, three teams in 3 years. There's a lot of pressure on that man, I think, down there. That Commander's front office, I know accusations came out about Snyder today. And I know that front office is a dumpster fire, and it has been for years.
Yeah. They have a lot of issues, and I do feel bad for Carson. Where Carson used to be with the Philadelphia Eagles, and talking about cannonballs and splashes, The Eagles made one of the biggest splashes of the offseason with that trade during the draft.
Oh,
AJ Brown.
Giving up the first and the third, moving up with Tennessee. And I'll say this. You know, I bash Howie Roseman for some of the draft picks, but, you know, he was a genius in 17. You know, maybe he may do it this year. Who knows? I mean, just brought in Bradbury a couple weeks ago, playing opposite of Darius Slay. You know, that might be one of the best, you know, D-back tandems in football right now.
There's no lie there. And that was one of my major concerns heading into the season for the Eagles. That's what I kept repeating was, yeah, they got Darius Slay, but that secondary is trash. And then they go, oh, by the way, here's Bradbury. Oh, by the way, just yesterday, here's Jaquasi Tartt, how do you say his first name? They just kept adding. And now it's, I don't even know if it's a concern anymore.
Well, the thing of it is, you know, they brought Anthony Harris back last year and played under Jonathan Gannon in, you know, Minnesota system, but Rodney McLeod went to Indianapolis, which some ways I kind of wish they would have brought back, but he tore his ACL two out of the last three seasons prior, and, you know, how much fun. I mean, he stepped up down the stretch last year to get the Eagles in the playoffs, but, you know, really how much gas was in that tank? And, you know, you hate to see these guys go to, you know, but, you know, it's time to turn the page and get young, and really it just seems like, you know, adding Jaquiski Tartt, you know, might out, you know, should be a starter on September 11th in Detroit. But it's really, right now, that's just really the main concern with that defense. I mean, you drafted Jordan Davis. You drafted N'Kobe Dean. You know, you had some, you know, Rahsaan Reddick, you know, Philly boy. You brought him in under a free agency. Kaiser White, who had the Chargers in tackles last year. Basically, the Eagles are basically going from a 4-3 defense to a 3-4 hybrid. So, you know, you get Brandon Grant coming in 34 years old off a Achilles tear, which, you know, Josh Sweat, you know, who had about 6-7 sacks, stepped up last year. You know, they re-signed Derek Barnett, who I wasn't a fan of, number one pick in 17, but, you know, just for depth purposes. But, you know, this defense is built compared to what it was last year, and there ain't no reason that Jonathan Gannon shouldn't be sent in the house. And, you know, Bradbury and a big play Slay on the corners. I mean, this defense ought to be in that backfield knocking these opposing quarterbacks around. I mean, the sky's the limit with this team. All the pressure is on Jalen Hurts. Howie went out, brought in Zach Pascal from the Colts, A.J. Brown. You know, drafted Devontae Smith last year. You know, Greg Ward, Jalen Reagor, we won't get into that. But, you know, he's got Dallas Goedert. He's got the weapons around him. They got Tyree Jackson coming off that ACL tear that they were big last year in camp. So, Miles Sanders, to me, I think they need to go out and get a running back like Kareem Hunt. The rumor was this past week, you know, Kareem Hunt to the Eagles for Andre Dillard and a pick, but I would do it in a heartbeat. I think Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are the best running back tandem in football. You bring Kareem Hunt, that's like bringing in a LeGarrette Blount in 2017.
Ooh. That's a solid comparison. Big piece of that team in 17.
Along with Jay Ajayi, they traded for from Miami. So, you know, they got one of the best offensive lines in football, and, you know, who the hell knows? I'm just thinking they need a running back. They need a veteran that, like a Jordan. But the last 4 years they had Jordan Howard. He's still out there, but he's injury prone. Miles Sanders missed 12 games in the last 2 years. I think you just need to upgrade that position, balance this offense. Eagles were the best running attack last year from week 8 on to the end of the season. And I just think you need that piece in place. And, you know, they're going to give Dallas a run for the division as long as everybody stays healthy.
I've kept saying Boston Scott should be the starter on this team. Every time he's on in the game, whether Miles Sanders is hurt, just goes down, needs a break. Whenever Boston Scott gets a chance to touch that ball, including receiving, that dude's got a heart of a first-string running back.
No, Boston Scott's a giant killer the last couple years. The guy they really didn't utilize last year was Kenny Gainwell, who they drafted last year from out of Memphis. And, you know, the guy can catch the ball, put him in the slot. You know, I think he could, you know, you give him enough playing time, and, you know, he'll flourish. Boston Scott, Darren Sproles 2.0. Little smart, but he's got the heart of a lion. So.
Well, with the whole draft and the entire offseason all kind of wrapped up into a big old bundle, seems like it's been a great one for the Eagles. What would you kind of give them a rating here on a scale like 1 to 10? Compared to other offseasons, like, how are you feeling with everything that the front office did to improve this team?
Right now, I'd say at least 10, 11 wins. I mean, I figured maybe 8 last year, but who, you know, second half of the year, they just, you know, Nick Sirianni made changes and pounded the ball and the ranked number one running game in the league that, you know, took them into the wild card round against Tampa Bay. But, you know, all the pressure is on Sirianni and on Jalen Hurts.
And, yeah, that's one guy we didn't really talk about was Jalen Hurts. I mean, what's the Eagles' faith in him right now? Do you guys feel like this can be the guy that can get us there? Is the replacement coming?
Well, Jalen Hurts is on a rookie contract, and, you know, it's make or break. I mean, do the Eagles want to throw out that money that they just threw out to Carson Wentz 2 years ago for the big contract before they – traded him to the Colts last year for a first and a third round pick. So, I mean, Jalen Hurts, but just go back. I mean, you want to kind of compare to, I don't want to compare this team to the Super Bowl team, but Howie Rosen basically did the same that year. As I said earlier, brought in LeGarrette Blount, traded for Jay Ajayi, had Zach Ertz, had Trey Burton, Brent Celek. I mean, he went out, signed Alshon Jeffrey for a year, Torrey Smith for a year, had Darren Sproles, and, you know, it's kind of like, all right, Wentz was in his second year, but, you know, Howie went out and put some offense around him, which pretty much is what he, you know, did at the draft and, you know, trading for A.J. Brown. And, you know, there's no reason why this team – shouldn't flourish. I mean, they got one of the easier schedules in the league. I mean, already played. The division's always tough. You know, you play Green Bay, you play Tennessee coming into Philly, open up on Monday night with Minnesota. Trying to think of some of those other, you know, spotlight games that they have, prime time. You know, the NFC, no matter who sucks and who's good, it's always a dogfight.
That's one thing you got to give those NFC East teams. They are always fighting each other. That's for sure. Yeah.
Everybody brings it.
So speaking of the schedules, heading into the actual season, we like what they did in the offseason. Now we got to make it actually happen and work. So I have the schedule up real quick, and, you know, I'll let you go first. I just kind of want to see where your head's at. You know, they start with the Lions. They have a week 7 bye week. Then they had they got the Vikings, Washington, Jags, and they got the Cowboys and the Cardinals before their bye week. It might be a tough stretch there, but then they come out of the bye week with, my goodness, the Steelers, Texans, and Washington. Who knows what the Colts are going to be like? And then they have two home games back-to-back against Green Bay and the Titans. That's a tough little home stretch. The ending of the season, not too bad. You got the Giants, the Bears, Cowboys again with the Saints and the Giants.
Giants list.
So with all that being said, how is your heart? Where's your heart at? Are we looking at least double digits here?
Well, as I said, I think 10, 11 wins. But, you know, we always get into this situation in Philly where as soon as the schedule comes out, those sports talk stations blow up and it's just, you know, they're going to go 12-5. You know, you're used to talking 16 games, but You know, it's always
an adjustment.
I always say it's just kind of hard because, God forbid, you don't know what guys are going to go down. And, you know, there's always a win that's a clunker on that schedule. I don't know why, but there's always a game they always end that they should win that they end up losing, and there's always a game that they should lose they end up winning. And it's on paper, this team should come right out of the gate, as I said. But you know, there's always a winnable game that they pull out last minute, or there's a clunker that they basically black the bed.
Yeah, we like to call that the Bills versus Jags game. That's like what we like to compare that one to. Yeah, or at least I like to. I don't know if Durf likes to do that, but personally, that's what I would compare it to.
Right,
Durf. What do you got the Eagles doing this year? What do you got them saying?
This division was tough for schedule season predictions. I end up going 9-8 with the Eagles. I think kind of like what Mike said, that, you know, there are some games that they're going to win that they shouldn't have won, and there's going to be some games that they lose that they shouldn't have lost. And I think that's where I got caught up a little bit on some of the games, and I was kind of like, I'm going to err on the side of caution a little bit right now. I feel like the Eagles did a lot this offseason, and I really want to see how that pans out, and obviously we'll see that in training camp. After kind of what we saw during the wild card game, that's a younger team, you know, taking those lumps and learning. And, you know, I'm curious to see if, you know, I want to see if the Eagles can prove me wrong here. And that's why I had them at 9-8.
No, I'll say this, and a lot I may take heed for. Diehard Eagles fan of the fullest, as you can see behind me.
Couldn't tell.
Brian Dawkins tattoo here, but
I will say Brian Dawkins was my, because my parents were Eagles fans. I grew up an Eagles fan. Then I defected.
But
Brian Dawkins was the first player ever that I like paid attention to as a player. Like he was the first superstar. I was like, I love that guy. And when he got into the Hall of Fame, like I almost cried. Like that was a real moment. I loved Brian.
I actually had the opportunity to go to Canton, Ohio back in 18 when the man was inducted. You know, great. If you watch his speech, go on YouTube. Just, I'll say this, and I'm not, you know, no BS. I've had the opportunity and the privilege to meet the man 6 times.
Wow.
It's not the man for just what he did on the field as a player. It's just an inspiration. You know, very docile, down earth. He'd be on here talking like the three of us right now, just very calm, laid-back guy, inspirational. But, you know, just, you know, if we had more, I'm not saying this to, like, you know, put him on a pedestal, but if the world had, if you had more Brian Dawkins in the world would be a better place. And I'm not just, you could take, you know, the Michael Jordans, the LeBron James, you know, whatever other athlete you want to put out there. But this guy, total class all the way, just loves people. And, you know, just a great human being besides, you know, a phenomenal football player.
So sorry to interrupt you there. You said Brian Dawkins and I got excited. So
sorry.
What were you going to say in response to Durf's 9-8?
Hey, you know, as an Eagles fan, I'm a diehard to the full season ticket holder for 35 years. But, you know, I'm a realist too. If the team sucks, it sucks. Like, you know, somebody else could probably come on here and be like, hey, how the hell can you say 9-8? I mean, we're all, you know, we all got our teams. But, you know, I'll call it down the middle. If they suck, they suck. I mean, if they basically shit the bed, then they suck. I'll be honest, but I'll be right back out there at the link every week. And, you know, you give them, I'm an Eagles fan, but I'm a football fan too. And if the team sucks, stinks up the joint, then they suck that week. Some games you beat themselves.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to go 17-0, but
it'd be nice to see, 10 yeah. wins, though, which is where I got them. I put them down for 10-7, but I had them getting out to that 4-0 start, which could be, I feel like when I go through the schedule and I made my picks, that's the spot where they could easily be 8-9 or 9-8. Cause they, who knows how strong the Lions are going to come out. Who knows where the Vikings are right now. They're usually all over the place. And then Washington, don't know what they're going to be. And then Jacksonville, I'm not too worried about those guys, but that could easily be a 4-0 start, or that could be a 1-3 start.
Well, it's not how you start out. It's where you finish.
And, very true.
And I mean, I could see them. I'll say this now. I mean, everybody might think that's just going to be a cakewalk. And I think, you go into Detroit and, Dan Campbell, Deuce Staley, who should be a head coach in Philadelphia, not to take none away from Nick Sirianni. But, Detroit, I don't know what the hell is wrong with that franchise. Like, I mean, I take my hat off to those folks that go out there, spend their money on those season tickets because
God bless their souls.
If that was Philadelphia, the Vetter Lincoln Financial Field would be burnt down. Not literally, but we'd be heading over to the NovaCare, get us a damn football team, have Jeff Lurie move the damn team out of the city and give us some expansion. That's how it would be in this town. That's just our passion. We're the worst fans, people say, but guess what? We got the most passion in this town, and we'll tell it like it is, like Brian Dawkins said. To every player, you better bring your lunch pail. That's why there are certain guys in this town that couldn't survive in this town in other sports, but I'm not going to get into that. He went to Brooklyn, and he'll be out of the NBA in 2 years. He was caught fishing the other day. But with that damn herniated disc, that dope was out there. But I'm going to leave little bum Simmons to the side of the curb and just,
I saw that picture, and the caption for it was, Ben Simmons is enjoying vacations. Like, vacation from what? The dude hasn't played in, how many months? Like, what's he taking a break from?
Yeah, so much for a herniated disc, right?
Yeah, he's sitting there, he's reel that in just fine.
Yeah, but anyway,
he's probably paying a guy to do that for him.
Oh, anyway, back to the birds.
Well, I mean, that's all it seems like we're all roughly 9, 10, 11, maybe wins for the Eagles. And that's all really the big questions we had. It seems like a pretty positive outlook from your side of things. Any last closing feelings on your birds?
Nah, not really, but I give props, take my hat off to Howie Roseman. Did a great job, in the draft. Some free, I was fired up before he did get A.J. Brown. I said, question is, who the hell is Jalen Hurts going to throw to besides, Devontae Smith, Jalen Rager, and Zach Pascal, Greg Ward, I'll say this, I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked to see Jalen Rager in an Eagles uniform only because he was a Howie pick from 2 years ago at number one, but we want to ride the guy out of Philly. Along with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. A number two pick that's been a bust.
It's just what make the sting is worse with those when you realize that they missed out on a Justin Jefferson and a DK Metcalf in place. I mean, that kind of.
Well, can I say this? I heard probably less than a year ago. The reason the whole thing about a lot of teams passed on DK Metcalf because apparently he had some medical issue. The teams just wanted to stay. I forget what injury it was, but.
He had a back or a neck thing. It was something that was of real concern. Yeah.
Right. But the whole Justin Jefferson, I was in this very man cave of mine, during the COVID and the pandemic. And I'm sitting here, all right, Justin, there was probably three other receivers I would have taken. And all I hear is Jalen Reagor. And I probably could have just ripped the TV off the wall. Like, that was just like Justin Jefferson sitting there. You know, just not a...
Yeah.
I mean, every Eagles fan was that way. Like, I don't know what Howie was on that night, but...
Every, you know, people make fun of the Eagles. They'll make fun of the Eagles for the pick, but you can almost you can go to all 31 other teams and you can find them making a mistakes very similar to that. I mean, every team's done it.
Oh, you! I'll leave you with this. I love my birds, but there's been some dreadful first round picks in the Eagles' history. Pull it up sometime, you know. I know John Madden was drafted by the Eagles. I forget what year, 64. But I think he had a knee injury, but never played for him. But they've had some real bad picks. And, I mean, they've hit on some good ones, but the bad outweigh the good. I'm just telling this.
Right.
I may take some heat, some people that, how can you trash? Hey, like I said, I'm from Philly. We're from Philly, flipping Philly. No one likes us. We don't care, but we tell like it is.
Honesty is the best policy. That's how you do it. Yep. Well, we appreciate your time on the show. Thank you so much for your insight into the Eagles.
Definitely.
And make sure you send me whatever link you want me to. I think I actually have your website already in the chat. Yeah. So actually, I'm all set. I'll be sure to push that out to everybody. No matter where I am, everyone will. Yeah. And especially 8 o'clock, if you're sick of listening to us, you head over to Broad Street South. And hey, I'll put the link out for everyone. Like, the show starts at 8.
Like to come back on, you know, have like to talk with you guys again. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're definitely in my Eagles fan book now. I know who to go to. So when they start out the season 8-0, well, when they're – when they're 6-0 heading into the bye week, I'll give you a call and see how you're feeling.
Wait, who'd you say you rooted for again? The Seahawks. Yeah.
Well, yeah, like I said, yeah, I'm a Seahawks fan, so I mean, I'm looking at like 3-14 this season. So you know,
let me ask you one question.
All right,
is Drew Locke going to be? And I'm not trying to be smart.
No, that's good.
Is Drew Locke going to be throwing a Metcalf?
Well, here's the thing. The Seahawks will sign Metcalf. I don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be. They're both going to suck. I don't care who the starter is. They're going to sign Metcalf, but they have to wait until Terry McLaurin gets paid. Right. So then they have to pay more money. That's how we like to do things. We like to spend unnecessary money as a Seahawk. So, you know, that's kind of our thing.
I don't know. Debo Samuel's waiting to get paid too.
But... So now we got to wait for two people to get paid. I forgot about Debo. Right. Yeah, that's right.
All right, fellas.
All right. Thank you so much again.
It's a pleasure. I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll talk soon.
Will do.
Have a good night.
You too.
You as well.
Thank you.
Well, there's your Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we love talking to people. So this show probably won't include the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Giants because we have another guest. Is going to be joining us, and he's not going to talk about either one of those teams because we don't care about those teams.
Nope.
The Cowboys will choke and the Giants will suck. That's just the reality of the situation.
Yep.
Well, we have to talk to our next guest about a team that I don't really know what's going to happen. There's such a mess going on right now.
One thing they're going to try and do is take command.
There you go.
There we go.
Just for you. Eagles win the division, says Whiskey. You know, stay tuned and find out. We have him. We have the Eagles roughly going anywhere from 9 to 11 wins currently. But right now we're going to see what the Washington Washington Commanders will pull off in the 2022-2023 season with our special guest Blaine from the Final Whistle Sports Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? How are we?
Yeah, we're doing well.
I guess I can't complain. I don't know.
I appreciate you guys having me on so I can get this into a more depressive mood about the Washington Commanders.
This is why we do this little series and we like beg for fans of teams to come on, because we can sit here and say, you know, whatever we want about a specific team. But unless we're talking about the Bills or the Seahawks, we don't really know what the fan base is feeling like. And right now, we're going to find out how the fan base is feeling about the Washington Commanders. And I have a feeling I kind of know what direction they're going in, since one of them is about to be testifying in front of Congress. But
yeah, more than anything, let's just say anything above 5 wins is a nice victory for me. I honestly, we got 7, did we go 7 or 8 wins last year? If I can't remember off the top of my head. Because, you know, I try to avoid talking about my Commanders on my own podcast. So let's just say how that much is when you're a sports show and you avoid your own team. That's just how desperate we've gotten at this point. But yeah, Snyder denying going to Congress, you know, so that's always a great start. And a great sign when your owner is the one that's taking all the headlines instead of your brand new quarterback that pretty much every fan would say that they didn't want. So just being very transparent, I am on the Matt Ryan train 110%. And we could have gotten Matt Ryan for less than what we paid for Carson Wentz. So, and just think about it that way, and then you end up, yeah, this is going to be a full rant, so I don't know if you guys are ready for that.
Oh, no. No, I feel this is what we're here for. We're here for the fans' reaction of kind of just your general feelings right now of,
yeah,
what is happening? Like, what is your heart telling you that you need to let the world know about the Commanders?
Let's see. We are better off being the football team than the Commanders is the first thing.
100% agree.
Should have been the football team. I mean, I will always, I know I probably will get some backlash for this. I'm always going to be a diehard Redskins fan. That's just how I grew up. That's how the name grows up. I understand the issue behind it, and I completely understand the reasoning behind changing it. But just from my fan base perspective, it will be the Washington Redskins always to me. Just for a historical context, I have a Donovan McNabb jersey of a Washington Redskins. So just see how desperate I've become as a fan that I was relying on a Donovan McNabb team way past his prime and didn't even make it through half of the season. So that's in and of itself. Our draft was awful, other than Jahan Dotson. I don't know if you can say
Jahan Dotson. Yeah,
Jahan Dotson. I think he was arguably the correct pick, especially with my due diligence of doing tape on him. I think he arguably has the best hands in this class, especially with 50-50 balls. He may not be as he might be undersized in comparison to some of the guys, but when he at 50-50, he was top 2 or 3 in the Big Ten this year. So really excited for that. Hopefully it'll,
well, I think Terry McLaurin proved that you don't need size to be a good 50-50 ball catcher. I mean, my goodness.
Correct. But right now he doesn't want to play for us either. So, you know, Dotson's going to be our number one. So
fair enough.
But yeah, I think it's going to be a real test to see how we unfold, because we went wide receiver. That was the only true need that we actually addressed in this draft class, right? Or even in free agency, if you really take a deep dive into it. We needed defensive back. We went defensive back in like the 6th round. You know he's not going to play. He's going to be on special teams. So that's another issue. Could have used probably another offensive lineman. Didn't address that till the 5th round. And Sheriff walks out. You knew that was going to happen. Trent Williams walks out. Carson Wentz was behind the best offensive line, arguably, in football, and the team wanted him gone. So, looking at it that way, and he had the best running back in football, and yet they still wanted him out. Just a lot of negativity in this little tangent The only thing is that I hope that we can coach him into just playing smart football instead of hero ball every play, because that's been his tendency ever since he came back from the injury before his, when he had that MVP season that he got hurt, and then Nick Foles did the rest for that squad. So,
like, my feeling with Carson is just, if Frank Wright can't do it, who can? That's kind of was my feeling on it.
That's the other issue in regards to it, is that he went to the place where everyone thought he would succeed. And don't get me wrong, his numbers are decent, but if you actually go back and watch the tape, he should easily have been a 20-20 quarterback. He had the 20 touchdowns, but he easily could have had 20 interceptions if a defensive back just learned how to catch a punt. You know, so.
Right.
Yeah, I had some, I think it was Colts fans or just people in general. I remember earlier in the offseason, people arguing with me that, you know, Carson Wentz was the main reason the Colts didn't get into the playoffs because of his ability, just amazing ability to do stupid things down the stretch in football games. Not just like in the first, second or third quarter, in the fourth quarter, game on the line, this dude is just like throwing fumble things to defensive linemen, and then they're taking it back for the touchdown. Like he was just doing crazy, stupid things. And I don't know where this came from. It's maybe it's just not a confidence in himself, but this is just who he is now. He's been doing it since with the Eagles. He did it with the Colts. I have no reason to believe that he's going to be changing anything with the Commanders.
No, I agree with you there. And I think most of it now has just become so mental that it's become physical, right? That he's so stuck up here that now it's his decision-making is gone. Now he's got sometimes he occasionally has a hitch in his pass because he's overthinking. When he sees the open man, he has to take that second pump before he lets go of the football. And then, you know, when you're throwing the football falling down with your left hand, that's a red flag, you know, just the epitome of a red flag. And if you can't play mediocre football against the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't have to say anymore, right? When it comes to that, you just hope that the team we're going to be so reliant on screens and slants this year. It's ridiculous. You get the ball to Samuel, if he can stay healthy. So that's another issue there. If Curtis Samuel can stay healthy, if McLaurin wants to play, basically it's going to be the Antonio Gibson show at the moment, because there's so many unknowns and question marks with our team. But then you have the caveat of, like, you have the easiest schedule in football. Figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, even with the easiest schedule, I mean, we'll get to the actual schedule prediction here in a second. But like, even with the easiest schedule, it was hard giving them the favorites in a lot of these. Durf, is there anything else we forgot with Carson? You know, is just anything general with this offseason that the Commanders have done? What have you noticed? You're a smart guy. What have you noticed that they've done that maybe, you know, went right, went wrong?
I like the Jahan Dotson pickup in the draft for the offense. I think Carson's going to need that for sure. You know, if you were to look at, you know, being a Penn State alumni, looking at, you know, following Jahan Dotson, you know, he didn't have a great, strong quarterback in Sean Clifford. And look at his numbers the past couple of years. And that's what I think you're going to get out of Carson Wentz for Jahan Dotson. You know, you're going to get average quarterback play. It'll be interesting to see what Riverboat Ron does with Carson. I feel like the Commanders haven't had a ton of consistent long-term talent at quarterback. Obviously, you know, they had, you know, why am I blanking on his name now? Who replaced Fitzpatrick?
Because he wasn't that important. Mr. Heinicke.
Oh, Heinicke.
Well, Snyder wants to draft a quarterback every 2 years anyway, so that's another issue right there.
He just gets bored. You think of that Toy Story meme where they drops Woody. It's like, I'm done playing with you. I'm sick of you. That's just dropping him every 2 years. Yeah.
That is so accurate.
But I think, you know, the little additions they added to the offense there, you know, they brought JD and McKissick back. Not correctly, but they brought him back.
He's still on the team, yeah.
He's still on the team. But I'm curious to see what this defense does. You know, I think like kind of what Blaine said, they didn't fully attack those needs on defense. But I feel like they didn't have all those needs before, based on from what I remember. When they were healthy, and that was considered one of the quote unquote scariest defenses in the league. So I feel like they're hitting a plateau this year, is what I'm going to call it. It's a plateau style season. I don't see them getting worse, and I don't quite see them getting better just yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious to see what happens this year. So it's, I think NFC East is always going to have good games. There's a lot of games in that division, the division games that it's literally a coin flip half the time. And that is what we like to call great football to watch on TV.
It might be versus 2-2-6 teams, but God damn it, it's going to be a good game.
No, it's always, if you really think about it, the Washington and New York always get that Thursday night game that you want to rip your eyes out, right? You're looking at the schedule and you're like, again, they got Thursday night. And then somehow we actually, because our teams are both so bad, that it turns into a decent football game.
So that's true. I don't know how they pull it off, but they do. And, speaking of schedules and games, Blaine, give it to us straight, man. Let me just run through. Let me get a little rundown here of what we're generally looking at for those at home who want to play along. We start with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're starting off the season with just probably one of the worst week one matchups in football. And then we get the Lions.
The whole year,
you think?
Oh, yeah. Jacksonville, Washington. No one's going to touch that other than true fans.
Anyone with the red zone might get it a few times on their screen, but outside of that,
yeah, just for the replay touchdown, right? It's not going to be because it was a live touchdown. It's that replay.
Yeah, the 15-second clip of they're J.D. McKissick or Antonio Gibson touchdown. All right, let's go to the next one. Then we're going to head out to Detroit with the Lions. Then we have our first NFC East matchup week three with the Eagles, and then back-to-back to go to the Cowboys. Then we got the Titans, Bears, Packers, Colts, Vikings. Notice how I haven't said bye week yet. Eagles in week 10, the Texans in week 11, and then the Falcons week 12, and then finally the Giants in week 13 with a week 14 bye week.
We're going to be broken. We really will. We're going to be broken.
What is the point of a week 14 bye week?
If I was Ron Rivera, I'd be getting on the phone with the NFL and be like, we'll just play 17 straight if we're already got to play 13 straight at this point.
You only got four more games after that. I mean, granted, everyone needs their break. And I echo what George Kittle has already said. With 17 games, there probably should be two bye weeks. But week 14, and then we're going to follow that up with having to play the Giants. I would imagine that might be our Thursday night game. I'm not sure.
Probably. I think that'll be it.
And then they have to finish the season going to San Francisco, and then two games at home against the Browns and the Cowboys. That is, it doesn't seem terrible, but then you got to remember, it's Washington.
Yeah, so, right? Take a deep breath, everybody. Everybody that's watching, really digest of what, and look at the roster, what we have, and then look at the schedule again.
And you see it in a whole different light. So with all that said, where do you have them sitting record-wise? Just a general overlay, just kind of maybe a range. Where are you feeling?
Honestly, if we can get anywhere, we can go 7 or 8 wins, I'd deem that a success. I think that's around where we were last year. I'll take that at this point. I know this is not, we're a project. We really are. I know we, as Durf mentioned, we got the bet. We had the best defense in football for a couple, not last year, but the year before that. And I feel like that was a lot of cover up because of how incredible our front four was. It kind of masked. Cause like, if you really look at the stats, our secondary was, if the D line wasn't getting home, we were bottom 10 teams in the league. So, but because our D line was so electric, we were a top 10 defense that year. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a lot. Honestly, my goal is 7 or 8 wins. And that actually gives you, with how bad the NFC East is, that gives a chance to win the division, if I'm being honest.
Hey, that's fair. That's fair. That's a fair statement to make.
What do you guys got?
Durf, what are we looking at?
I'm looking at 8 and 9. I think the division matchups were a little of a toss up, and there's a couple games, like I think I had them losing to the Jaguars week 1, not knowing what Jacksonville is going to do, because I feel like Jacksonville's on the rise a little bit here. I think they could be the team that shocks the Commanders week 1, and everyone talk about, oh, Trevor, it'd be all about Trevor Lawrence that first week. But, you know, that's for another week when we do the AFC South. But with the Commanders, I like what they're doing on the outside. From a long distance out looking at it, there's still progress being made. Just probably not the progress that most people are expecting initially. But it's kind of like slow growth. It's like, another way to look at it. But I think because of the division they're in, being in the NFC, I still think this can be an 8-win team.
All right. So, you guys are flowing 7-8 wins. I don't have Washington losing the division. Okay. I will lead with that. But with that being said, I have them at 4-13. I mean, I looked at this and just thought, well, let me see where their wins are. I did have them beating Jacksonville. I think obviously, Jacksonville's getting.
I thought you were going to have us be 0-2 to start, which is why I'd be like, all right, 4 wins is about right. If we're 0-2 to start, we might push 4.
I think they give their fans false hope by beating Jacksonville, maybe. Like, I think Jacksonville's just going to have to, like, get their tires on the ground and catch some traction before they get, even if they might get going. They need at least a couple games under the belt to get going. But then things just take a turn for the worst. I had them beating the Bears in week 6, and then I had them beating the Falcons in week 12, because I think the Falcons are the worst team in football. I cannot think of a team worse than the Falcons. That's my professional opinion. And then I had them beating the Giants in week 15 off their bye week. Everything else, yeah, sure, they could pull out one or two surprises. Like maybe they beat the Eagles one of those times. You know, maybe they sweep the Giants. I'm going to be honest with you. I do not see 8 wins on this schedule. I just don't, boys. I'm sorry. And that's just me.
Going 1-1 out of those first 2 games. Then I have, trying to think week by week right now, I have a split in the Giants, so that would be, actually no, I have a sweep in the Giants. I think the Giants might be the worst team in football. I'm being
completely fair enough. Yeah.
I think Danny Dimes might be out by week 5.
and Saquon right behind him, I'm sure.
And then I think we might, I think we'll snag that last week, because I think Dallas might be already in the playoffs. So
okay,
they're gonna bench some guys. And then same with I think we'll snag an Eagles game. And then I'm trying to think who else we've got. We've got the South, right? So I think we beat Houston. I think Houston's pretty bad too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think Houston surprises some people. I don't think they're a playoff team, but I think they, you know, Davis Mills has got some swag.
Yeah, I've seen Mills. I saw Mills play a couple times at Stanford. He's got a lot of talent. He's just raw. He didn't get a lot of starts in college. You know what I mean? So, you could argue that. I think Cleveland. I think Deshaun's getting the season. So I think who knows who's playing quarterback in the Browns by that point. So
very true.
So I think honestly, I think we start off with a couple wins, lose a lot for a while, then we snag a couple towards the end.
That I did your adjustments for you, and that would bring them up to 8-9 if that's how it played out. So I mean, there's your 8 wins. I mean, you did the math and you got us there. So right. And it does make a little bit of sense. I will not say that's the craziest thing I've ever heard, but you
there
know.
Are a lot of coin flips though in those that we are saying that we're gonna pull out. You know what I mean? So
Now you can't say coin flip on this podcast.
Coin flip? Why?
You can't say coin flip.
What am I allowed to say?
Coin flip. Oh man, what's another term we can use that you're okay with there, Derf?
50-50 chance.
There we go. All right.
Why no coin flip? What's the deal here with the coin flip?
So the coin flip is what ended the Bills' playoff run last year.
Yeah. I'm there.
That's the banned phrase on the show. Not officially, but you know.
Not officially, but I'm just joking. Yeah.
So we kind of have them all over the board. They could be as bad as 4-13. They could be as good as 8-9, 9-8. I mean, it's not impossible, but honestly, I think the overall theme of Washington right now is
who knows?
Shoulder shrug. Like, we do not know what is going to be coming out the gate.
A better chance of finding out if Snyder gets kicked out before the Washington Commanders' actually record being a decisive number.
I found it. I mean, it might be a true statement, but I think, you know, just to wrap this up in a pretty bow, I found it shocking that Roger Goodell testified. He said that he cannot kick Snyder out or tell him to sell the team. He said he had zero power to do so. Bro, you're the commissioner. You can do literally anything. Does he, like, am I crazy for thinking that he has at least a little bit of power in this decision? We can't hear you. You might have hit mute. Maybe.
You got me?
There we go.
That's the answer of the owners saying we don't want Snyder out because his bad publicity is our good publicity.
Right. People are talking about the Washington team, that's for sure. Well, we appreciate you coming on and giving us a little bit of insight. The outlook looks bleak, but you know, if Washington somehow Carson Wentz has an MVP looking season and they start out the season like 6-0, man, or maybe even 0-6, we'll be sure to reach out to you and we'll get a mid-season feeler there from you.
Absolutely. I would love to come back on and I would love to have you guys come on my show if you guys would be interested in doing that. So
yeah, man, let us know and we'll get it worked out. And like before, you know, send me some kind of link, whether it's your Facebook page or like a website, whatever you want. I'll be sure to share that with our community.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys. Hopefully you guys don't get to talk about the Cowboys or Giants too much because, you know.
We're not too worried about it. No, that's. Have a good one.
Yes, too.
That was Blaine, the Blaine of the Final Whistle Sports podcast. And so we've talked to Mike of the Broad Street South podcast and Blaine of the Final Whistle Sports podcast. I'll be sure to get you all that link. It'll be on our social media pages, all of them. So you can just go there and they'll be there. But we appreciate them taking their time out of their day to talk to us about Washington and the Eagles. I mean, it's, I feel nauseous after having to talk about them. Oh my gosh. Really quickly, because we're pretty much out of time. We're just over an hour here. Mm-hmm. We'll just go over really quickly. Cowboys, what do you have them really sitting at for the season moving? I mean, obviously Amari's gone. Yep. Dak and Zeke are a mess. This is just another. I feel like the NFC is just like a whole division of who knows what we're gonna get.
Right.
Is Dallas finally gonna win something, or what do we got?
I have Dallas at 9-8 this year. Same as the Eagles, but through, you know, tiebreakers or whatever the software I use that did the prediction gave the Cowboys the division at 9-8. Okay. So I think I don't see double digit wins out of this division, but this is what the Cowboys do. They're 8-8, 7-9, 9-7 team 9 times out of 10 lately. And they get the division by, you know, some weird game that happened between them, or somehow the Eagles lost to a game the Cowboys won. So that's what I have. I have them taking the division and locking down that number 4 seed for the playoffs.
Yeah, it ends up being some kind of strength of schedule win prediction garbage thing.
Yeah.
I don't even trust my own number. Somehow I came to 11-6, which is one game above the Eagles that I predicted. I don't even trust that. I say it out loud and I'm just like, nah, the Cowboys at 11-6? That doesn't even sound right when I say that.
Right. It doesn't,
you know.
Yeah.
Well, after I adjusted the Washington win record, I have him at 10-7 now. That's okay. Just in case Washington splits with Dallas. Then that might bump them to 10-7. So yeah, it is possible. But I think we both have them winning the division at least still. Whether that's a tiebreaker or just by one game, we do have Cowboys as the NFC East winners. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And I hate to end the show like this, but the New York
football
Giants, they bring in their new head coach, someone you're very familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Brian Daboll. He was successful with the Bills, and now he's just going to be like, you know, I'm going to turn the New York Football Giants into the New York Bills, man. They're going to be great. Daniel Jones is our next Josh Allen. Saquon Barkley is going to be amazing. And then everybody gets hurt, and they suck again. So they did have a pretty good draft. I will give them that. It's just, you can't put these pieces into a system that's broken physically and emotionally and mentally. Everything is broken. So what did you give them for their record?
I gave them a whopping 4-13. Yeah, not great.
It's not great. It's not great at all. I had them at, 2-15. I don't see a winning football team here. I just really don't. I don't even know. I looked at their schedule. It is a very weak. The entire NFC East has weak schedules. So just say that, you know, as a broad statement, they all have easy schedules.
Right.
But these teams suck.
Yeah.
At best, the Giants do 3-13 because they beat the Seahawks again. I gave the Seahawks to win this time around, but if I did this again, I'd say they beat the Seahawks maybe.
I think I gave the Giants the win when I did my record prediction against the Seahawks.
There you go. There's our difference maker right there. So that's our NFC East breakdown. Basically, we have at the top the Cowboys and then the Eagles bringing up the rear. Possibly a wild card. I mean, the NFC is pretty weak this year, so the Eagles could fight to a wild card.
Yeah.
And then we have Washington and the Giants in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a wild ride in the NFC East, as per usual.
Yep.
And we just don't know what we're going to get. So I'm very excited. I'm kind of generally excited, mostly just about the Eagles. I want to see if they actually can pull together all this talent that they have now.
Right.
In my heart, I feel like the Eagles should be able to win the division easily. But we all know. We all know L stud here. The Cowboys are going to win the NFC East. The South will rise again. Ooh. Is it their year? Is it their year, L stud? them boys. 2020, baby. 2022, baby. Let's go. Y'all Cowboys fans are wild. But yes, we do have them winning the division at least. I don't want to say that again. I'm just going to throw up my mouth if I have to say that one more time. Thank you. Yeah, we them boys. All right. That's all I can handle. That's all I can handle. That's good. Hey, if you're on Twitch for our live stream, we always raid after the show, you know, just so the listeners can hear that as well. If you want to watch live on Twitch, we always raid another person after the show. So head over there right now if you're not. And for those just listening elsewhere or the podcast later, you can always listen to Durf and Dylan next week. Because that's the wrong thing. We'll listen to us next week.
On and off the field.